We're joined by investigative liberal blogger Matt Campbell, who runs Blue Hog Report. Matt's broke significant stories in the past regarding former Lieutenant Governor Mark Dar and Circuit Judge Mike Maggio. Today, I'd like to talk about a story you just wrote identifying 59 sitting judges who failed to pay annual bar dues. The quandary is it may be the case all of them shouldn't have been eligible to run for the positions they currently hold, and they may also be ineligible from running this next time around. So first, walk us through a recent decision based on Amendment 80 of the state constitution by Judge John Cole disqualifying a judicial candidate seeking to challenge Pulaski County Circuit Judge Tim Fox.
Valerie Bailey is a local attorney, and she was going to run against Judge Fox, and she had a suspension for, there's an administrative suspension of her law license for not getting the right number of continuing legal education credits, non-payment of bar dues. Somebody filed a suit challenging her eligibility to run as a candidate based on Amendment 80, which says that for circuit judge, you have to have been a licensed attorney for 6 years immediately prior to the date that you would take office. Judge Cole sat as a special judge on that, and he ruled that she was ineligible and basically said it doesn't matter if it's an administrative suspension or a disciplinary suspension. All suspensions are the same, and they equate to being an unlicensed attorney. And since hers was within the last 6 years, he said that she wasn't eligible to be a candidate.
All right. And back to that list then of the 59 sitting judges with the non-payment issues. They run from district to court of appeals judges. What does their future hold, and to the best degree that you can predict anyway? A petition to the Arkansas Supreme Court was filed Monday. Tell us about that.
Judge H.G. Foster filed a petition for a writ of quo warranto, basically asking the Supreme Court to say, yes, you're qualified to be a judge now. Yes, you're qualified to be a candidate to run for judge. I'm not entirely sure how that's going to play out. I could see the court going ahead and saying, yes, if you've been elected and you've been seated as a judge, then you're qualified to be a judge, you know, for your current term. But when you start getting into that question of candidate eligibility, you run into issues of, you know, the person who brought the challenge against Judge Foster should get to have their day in court and present the same sort of evidence that the people who challenged Ms. Bailey did. So the petition that was filed by Foster, I think, is a little overbroad and probably isn't going to resolve the entire matter. At best, it might answer the question as far as current judges who aren't up for re-election right now.
Right. And more on that point, I suppose, the Attorney General's office and the Governor's office both have seemingly argued that non-payment violations are not tantamount to a disqualification on the ballot. Are there any dates in particular we should look forward to, especially so close to the election? And I believe you alluded to this in your last response. Would each 59 of these judges feasibly need their own separate case?
As far as challenging them, the judges on pre-election, then yeah, they would have to, they'd have to be their own separate cases, and you're going to have slightly different defendants. They'd all have to be brought in Pulaski County because the Secretary of State's office has to be a defendant. But then, you know, with each judge, then you have to have the county election board from where they are running for judge name. So those would all have to be separate suits. It's going to have to resolve pretty quickly. I mean, you've already had the candidate list certified. That had to happen 75 days out. So now you're almost going to have it resolved in time so that the county election boards can decide whether or not they're going to count the votes for these judges based on what the court tell them to do. And then, you know, as for the attorney general and the governor's position on the thing, you know, with all due respect to them, the attorney general's entire office, I believe, had their law license administratively suspended in 2011 for non-payment of dues. I mean, somebody just forgot to pay for all of them, so there might be a little bit of a, if not an actual conflict of interest, at least a self-serving answer there on their part.
Rounding out the discussion today, what does this mean to you overall about just the state of bookkeeping, I suppose, in the judicial industry?
Well, you run into, I mean, every attorney knows that the dues become payable January 1st, and you've got until March 1st to pay them. The problem you run into is, with some people, there's not always notice given from the clerk's office as that reminder. And you know, most of the time, you do get the notice. Occasionally, it doesn't happen, and it's a lot easier to sort of see a person they might not pay if they didn't receive notice. You know, wouldn't even cross their mind. At the same time, you know that they're due, so it's hard to have too much sympathy. If it turns out that the court said, yes, all suspensions are the same, well, then you come back to, you knew that the voter dues were due. You've been doing this a while. It seems a little disingenuous to complain after the fact, I didn't know that was the same kind of suspension. You know, it is what it is, and it's up to the court to decide what that answer is.
Thanks for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.